dive into this, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would quicken our hearts and convict us and change us from the inside out. And Lord, as we launch into this book of Daniel, as we look at the days that we're living in, and God, that you'd fortify your people with the power and strength of the Holy Spirit, that we would not compromise, that we would stand obedient to you and to your word, no matter the cost. Oh God, I pray that you'd open up our hearts and minds and our very souls to the truths of the scripture. And we thank you for giving us your word. We ask, Lord, that you would be with the kids in the junior church and those as they're dismissed in the preschool. God, that you would teach them the things of the Holy Spirit. God, that you teach them the things of Jesus, and that they would grow up to be strong followers of you, Lord. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning as the children are dismissed. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Daniel. We're starting a new sermon series, and we were going to start last week, but we thought the snow was going to come, but it didn't. And I am excited about the book of Daniel because of how relevant it is what we are facing right now in our day and in our time. And the title of this series is going to be Trusting the Sovereign God Through Trying Times. And it is my prayer that each and every one of you, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, that you are fortified and strengthened in this word so much that no matter what way the wind blows, the pressure that you receive, or the trying times that you might go through, that you will stand firm and fixed in obedience to God. And Daniel was such a man. Now, I want to ask you to kind of picture in your mind of the time that you were a teenager, maybe around 16 years old. Our sister here is just about to get her license. And imagine if a foreign country, let's just say for the sake of argument, although we always pick on China, but that China invaded the U.S. and took our children that were the smartest and the brightest, and they are bright children, the Hoffman children are bright, and said, we are going to put you in charge of, we're going to train you and re-educate you in our ways. Is anybody that here that would like to go to China and live in China? You know, we're used to all of our ways, we're used to our foods, we're used to having our parents and our nice homes. That's exactly what happened to Daniel and his friends. The king of Babylon invaded Jerusalem, destroyed the city, destroyed the temple, and took them into captivity. Now, I want to begin by reading in chapter 1. But before we do that, imagine being enrolled in an education system that teaches you the opposite of everything you've already learned about God. Would you choose to maintain your heritage, or would you take the easy road and compromise in order to go with the flow? Do you realize that that's happening right now? Since the beginning of time, God's people have been in a spiritual battle with a system of evil that seeks to steal us away from God. To be more blunt, it is the goal of socialism and communism around the world, and has been in history, to erase any influence of God and His holy church in your life. We're living in the midst of a hostile attempt to take over your mind. This happens slowly over time. It is replacing of all Christian influence with miseducation and even activities that are not bad in and of themselves. The more time our lives and the lives of our children are spent away from the influence of God and His church, the more we will seemingly innocently begin to compromise our lives and the lives of our children. You see, if the school systems, the government, and our jobs begin to dominate our lives to the point that all is left is perhaps a Sunday morning here and there for God and His influence, we're truly heading down the path of unwanted compromise. And I don't know of anyone in this room that really wants to go down that path. There was a pastor who tells of a young man and young woman. He was trying to work his way through seminary. The wife was supporting and was a quality control specialist in a company that made syringes. And so she was going down and inspecting the line, and she found a whole bad batch of syringes that this company had ordered, and she said, "I cannot pass this in quality control." So her boss comes, he calculates the cost, and he finds out it's way too much to remake the things. He said, "You just need to sign the paper and let it pass." Well, being a Christian, she refused to do that. So then the president of the company came and he said, "If the numbers just are not working right, you need to sign those papers and just pass it on. If you don't, you'll lose your job." Well, this woman, her name was Karen, refused. A Karen. She was a good Karen. She refused to compromise, and guess what? She lost her job. And I'm going to tell you the rest of the story at the end of the sermon. But we are in a place right now where our obedience to God's word lies in the balance. So I want to begin by reading in verse 1 today through 7. "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it." And I want to pay a close attention to this first word. And it says, "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Aspenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge and understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace. So they chose the best of the best." I mean, their eyes were pointing in the same direction. They were filled with knowledge. They were good in appearance. They were handsome. They were good looking. And that's who the king chose to serve out of the Jewish people. And so they were competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them, and this is their goal, to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of food that the king ate and the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. The first thing that I want to bring up here is that if you want to be a person in the times that we're living in that refuses, that does not compromise, you have to be grounded in the premise that God is sovereign over every circumstance that comes about. Let's say if a foreign nation does invade, as with the case with Daniel and his friends, or suddenly, just as the first couple that I married in Michigan, younger than me, found out she had cancer, in 3 weeks she was gone. We don't know what kind of things may come about, but a person who is strong, that does not compromise, is grounded in the premise that God is sovereign. Did you notice in verse 2 that the Lord gave Jehoiakim king? He was in complete control of what was happening. And you know, we may not feel like that at the moment when those kinds of things start to happen in our lives. When we get put into the communist re-education program and we get shamed into trying to follow their direction or their ways, as we're starting to see more and more in our culture, we get shamed into believing that abortion is okay. We get shamed into believing that the sex at birth is a fable, even though it's science. We get shamed into all these things, but the way that we're going to get through is if we trust in a sovereign God who, even though he allows these things to come about, he does it for our good, and he does it so that we'll be a light and an influence in a wicked culture. How else will God get us out of our seats? How else will God put us in places in the government or in our society unless he begins to act? He's sovereign when life besieges us. He's sovereign when your place of worship might be desecrated, as we find in Canada more and more churches. Pastors are being arrested for preaching the Word of God and for even needing to have their church meetings now. They've used this whole pandemic thing to carry that on and enact these sort of things. What about? This is, God has given us this beautiful place to worship, and you all have invested in it. What if it gets taken away? Will you still worship God? What if the temple gets destroyed, as in Daniel's day? God is sovereign when the circumstances of life take you into captivity and remove you from all that is familiar. God is sovereign when the world seeks to re-educate you. I remember the first time that I went to a foreign country, more of a third world country. I visited the Philippines. That was before I met the person that I was supposed to marry. I was trying to take a detour and met a gal in the Philippines. But I remember being a little bit nervous and intimidated. I was totally out of my culture. Things were so different. I mean, you about choked on the fumes of the exhaust in the city of Manila. It was just a very different lifestyle. And if I were taken from here and put there, or if even I was taken here and put in New York City or Chicago again or whatever, I wouldn't like it. But when God takes us out of our comfort zones, he's sovereign. These Jewish boys were the descendants of King Hezekiah, so they were royalty. And in Isaiah chapter 39, Isaiah says this to Hezekiah before this happened. Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be safe, says the Lord. And some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will be father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Right there is a prophecy about Daniel and his friends. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord that you have spoken is good. For he thought, well, there's going to be peace and security in my days. So he basically, that wasn't the water I brought up. Hopefully that was a new water. I grabbed a different bottle there. So, number one, those that refuse to compromise are grounded in the premise that God is sovereign over their circumstances. Number two, those that refuse to compromise are resolved right from the start to be obedient to God. Notice what it says in verse 8. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine and the drink. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. So here he is going in a different culture, and he decided right from the start not to compromise. And you might say, well, he was giving them steak, he was giving them wine, but it goes much deeper than that. Thank God that Daniel was raised in a godly home, and according to the law of Moses, they were not supposed to eat foods that were sacrificed to idols. They were not supposed to give in to the peer pressure to change their thinking or their worship or their way of living. And that is exactly what we see around the world, if you want to put it in a political term, through the views of socialism and communism, is to erase God from everything. And it starts with the thinking. It starts with who or what you worship, replacing that. And it goes on to changing your way of living. And so here's these Jewish boys, 16-year-olds, teenagers. Can you imagine your teenager turning down steak to have broccoli and vegetables and a meal of meat, water to drink only? They had to give up their Coke and all that kind of stuff and Mountain Dew. But they refused to give in to the pressure to change their thinking. Now, I want you to know that word resolved. When it says Daniel resolved, it means he set in place. In other words, he made up his mind in his inner man or in his character that he would refuse to defile himself. And here's where a lot of Christians go wrong, and here's where I've gone wrong in my life, is that we think that, well, it's just a little bit right now, it's okay. You know, it's, I can overlook that. I can disobey that part of Scripture. And then a year down the road, I look back and I say, how far did I go? See, people that won't compromise start right from the beginning. The foundation of their life, they say there's no way. Daniel and his friend said there's no way we're going to be pressured into this new education system, which, by the way, Isaiah 8:19 talks about. They practiced necromancy or witchcraft and divination. So that's what their school was. So they were taken out of their school of the Word of God and the law of God, and they were put into the school of witchcraft to learn how to practice magic arts and astrology. But yet they refused to practice it. They endured the education, but they refused to accept it. And that is the key. See, we're pressured today in our education system to compromise. And we have storybooks and things like that are being passed around the schools with titles such as or like Susie Has Two Mommies or Critical Race Theory or Gender is a Favor. But you know, Romans 1:26-27 says, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and that men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts and men receiving themselves the due penalty for their error. Culture says it's good. The Word of God says it's shameful. And we have this pressure all around us to change our thinking. Now, what happened with their worship? Why was I talking about changing their worship? What is the first thing that the king of Babylon did? If you read it really quick, you won't notice it. But these Jewish boys had a name. Daniel's name meant Elohim is my judge. So his parents raised him to respect God as judge. But what did the king of Babylon do? He changed his name to Belshazzar, which means the god Bel, or a pagan god Bel, protects my life. Hananiah meant Yahweh is gracious. And so they changed his name to Shadrach, which means Akka, another god, is exalted. And Mishael, who is what Elohim is, mean it means that. And then they changed his name to Meshach, who is what Akka is. And Azariah, Yahweh is my helper. Abednego, he changed his name to Abednego, the servant of Nebo. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and we've heard these stories since we were kids about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And that's the names we use. But that's not their names. That's the names the king assigned. But when they referred to themselves, and when Daniel refers to himself, he always refers to himself in his Hebrew name, because he refused to worship these pagan gods. Although they answered to the name when the teacher would call out their pagan name, they did not call themselves that name. They changed their way of living. The king's food was unclean, and it was offered to idols. And so there is this pressure to change our thinking, to change our way of worship, to change our way of living. Number three, those that refuse to compromise are good at setting boundaries and do not allow the world to re-educate them. So here we have Daniel and his friends being re-educated in a pagan system. But you know what the first thing Daniel did? And then we find in verses 9 through 16, Daniel drew a line in the sand and says, we'll be educated. We'll comply with those things. But here's where we draw the line. We will not defile ourselves with idolatry. We will not worship another god. Look in verse 9. He says, and God gave Daniel, here again, the sovereignty of God, favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see that you are in worse condition than the youths who were for your age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward who the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Notice he uses his Hebrew names there when we're writing about himself. Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. And here's the thing about those that don't compromise. They are so confident that what God says in His Word is true that they know it's better. Are you confident that what the Word of God teaches is right? He was. He said, test and see if it's going to come out better. Daniel knew if he refused to compromise that it would come out better. So he listened to them in this matter, verse 14, and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and wine that they drank and gave them vegetables. How do you think Daniel and his friends felt when they had to give up their wine and their steaks because of them? Can you imagine the ostracizing that they took from the other boys in the class? But you know, God's way is always better. It's always right. And I think that God honors when we choose by the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of Christ within us to walk in obedience to His Word, no matter what culture says, God honors and blesses that. That doesn't mean times are going to be easy, because certainly it was very difficult for them. There was and here's what I want us to realize. When we think about the philosophy of communism and socialism, this has been an influence around the world probably since the beginning of time, to erase God from culture and bring pagan deities in and force people to worship them. But the way that they do that, and the way that's been happening since earlier in American history, is just a little thing at a time. And it starts by robbing you and your children of your time with the Lord. Another pastor, the writer of this commentary, wrote about his daughter, Becca, who enrolled in soccer and found out most of the games were on a Sunday. And so they called the coach and said, we're not going to be at those games. And the coach said she couldn't play on the team if she wasn't going to be in those games. So Becca went on and suffered the consequences to do the right thing and to honor God. But what I want you to see, and I'm not against school activities and I'm not against sports or anything like that, but when it takes more of the time of your children being raised in Christ, if they have so many hours of education in the public school system or whatever system they're in, then in the Word of God, there's something that's going to go awry eventually. I have so many parents that come and say, yeah, but we went to church every once in a while, and we went to church, and, you know, and then all of a sudden, why is my little Johnny or my little Joe walking away from God now? It's the amount of time that's spent, invested in their life, and children are very impressible. This is how Hitler gained power in Germany, is that it was one step at a time, taking and erasing God. And it could be with innocent things. I could erase your time with God by having a soccer game on every time that the church is supposed to be meeting for Bible study. Now, do the local level of high schools and things do that on purpose? Probably not, but it's an agenda of the higher ups that was started a long time ago. And what I want you to see and be encouraged in is that you have the power to set boundaries like Daniel did. Said, no, here's the line. As a matter of fact, in 2 Chronicles 36, one of the reasons that they were taken into captivity was the Jewish people were refusing to honor the Sabbath. They had filled their lives with all kinds of compromise, and that's why they were taken into captivity. I'm not here to tell you what you need to do with your own life or your own school or your own kids or anything like that. That's something that you need to pray about. But here's the thing. Do not allow the world to re-educate you or your family and take more time out of their lives than the time that they have with God. Folks, we will not be able to stand, and I'm pleading with you in the Lord. We will not be able to stand in times of trouble and persecution if we don't draw these boundary lines. Because after all, when we sing songs, all I have is Christ, and I've given up my life to follow Him, He is all that matters. And everything I do, whether it's in sports or activities or school or music or dance and any of those kinds of things, it is for the glory of God that I do those things. And I will not allow them to encroach on my time with the Lord. Those that refuse to compromise are good at setting boundaries. And I want to give you freedom and permission to set boundaries with teachers, with principals, with team coaches, with even church activities, to make sure that your kids are getting ground in the Word of God. And sometimes we can even become busy doing activities even in the church world. Give you permission to lay the boundaries down like Daniel did. And so last of all, those that refuse to compromise only allow God to influence their life. Look in verse 17. As for these four youths, God, there's that word God gave, the sovereign work of God in the lives of Daniel and his friends. He gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them, and among all of them none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king, and every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Did you get that? They were supposed to be trained to look at a liver and predict the future. They refused to do it. It says in the word that they were 10 times better. And here's the thing. When God is influencing our lives, your wisdom and learning and skills will increase. The Hoffman girls are sitting right in front of me this morning. They're very intelligent. My prayer for them, and will continue to be, that God influences their life so much that people will look and say, wow, what wisdom and learning, and that they will be 10 times better than all their peers in college or school. Because they're trained and ground in the Word of God. And did you catch that there, that Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams? Daniel was given a spiritual gift to interpret dreams. And he didn't do it through witchcraft. It was from the Lord. God was setting him up for a powerful ministry to influence 3 pagan kings to interpret dreams, as we're going to see as we work our way through the book of Daniel. I don't know how God's going to use Bailey to influence hopefully some of these crazies in the government and her future. But God will give each and every one of you gifts and talents if you press into Him and if God becomes the number one influence in your life, like Daniel and his friends allowed. When God's influence in our life, He grants us ministry gifts to influence others. Just think about that. Daniel, how he influenced his friends, how he had... Are you talking the king of Babylon, a little Jewish boy who served until he was in his 80s, from 16 to age 80. Never compromised. And that is my prayer. And we got to pray for each other, for myself, for you, for our children, is that we support one another, encourage one another to only be influenced by God. And if we are, we will stand out like Daniel and his friends. And I pray that we'll be a church that are 10 times better. 10 times better than the woke crowd. 10 times more intelligent because we refuse to compromise and we take God at His word and we obey it and follow it no matter what. You know, there's a lot more things that happen when we give our lives to God. Notice how their bodies were even more healthy. It says they were fatter in the flesh. They weren't just skinny, unhealthy, pale, scrawny Jewish boys. They were strong. They had meat on their bones. When we tune into God, He changes our body, changes our spirit because we're in tune with Him. And notice the sharpness of their minds. I don't know why this just came to me, but I remember. Do you remember our sister Mary when she was going to have a surgery and she was under the influence? But because she had such a heart of worship, she was in that room under the influence of some anesthesia singing, "Yahweh, Yahweh, and love to shout your name, oh Lord." What a testimony. If you're in tune with God, the world can do whatever they want to you, but the sharpness of the mind that's tuned in with the Lord is powerful and amazing. So let me go back here a little bit. What prepared Daniel and his friends to refuse to be miseducated? Put that word, miseducated, in the midst of pagan captivity. Well, their early development was influenced by godly parents and leaders. Why do you think they named Daniel, "God is your judge"? Because they raised him in the temple in the Lord. Their early development was influenced by God's people. There's some interesting things that happened during that time about the influence of their parents, but there's a good scripture in Psalms 127 that talks about the power that you have and the influence over your children for the Lord. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. They don't belong to the state. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. This is Psalms 127:3. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Whether you have children of your own or you have children and people that you mentor in the church, they are like arrows in your hand. But they're a heritage of the Lord. They don't belong. You know what our politicians, it's even becoming so blatant now, right? Where they're saying, "We own your kids," right? There are even some politicians are coming out and saying that. No, they don't. They're a heritage from the Lord. The school system doesn't own your kids. Universities don't own your kids. The government doesn't own your kids. They belong to God. And they're arrows in your hand for the glory of God. And how about the influence of the temple or the church as we bring it up to our cultural times? Daniel was 16 in the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim, which means he was born in 622 BC. And do you know what happened that year in 622 BC when Daniel was born? There was a king by the name of Josiah who was 8 years old. His grandfather, Manasseh, had set up idols all around Israel, and he was a wicked king. Josiah replaced him as an 8 year old, and you know what his grandfather did? He closed the church doors. He closed the temple doors for so long that people forgot the law of God. It was hidden in some closet in the temple somewhere. So during Daniel's upbringing, they were experiencing a mini revival. Because as Josiah got older, he took down some of those high places. They brought out the Word of God out of the closet that had been hidden for years. And they read it, and they repented, and they returned to the Lord. Daniel was raised in a strong, vibrant church, if you will, during that time. And by the way, I said I would get back to this Karen, the good Karen, who refused to give clearance to her job and sign those papers. Well, because of her refusal and the time that it took, the company that was the customer buying these syringes began to investigate and say, "What is taking so long?" Well, as they investigated, they found out the bad product that Karen refused to sell to them. And they hired Karen to work for their company for more pay. 10 times better. Folks, when we refuse to compromise, it's always better. God desires to raise up a Daniel generation right here and right now. And we have the encouragement to encourage one another in this. A Daniel generation leans on the sovereignty of God during hard times. No matter what kind of takeover we're going to face or what kind of miseducation we're going to have to be dealing with in our country, those who set their hearts to serve God alone, those that set boundaries, those that only allow God to influence their lives. And I want to encourage you, let's pray for one another that as we prepare for these coming days, that we set our mind, fix our heart to say, no compromise. I'm going to obey the Word of God. I'm going to preach the gospel like the pastors in Canada who are now told that they can't preach about biblical sexuality or they'll be thrown in jail. There's pastors that are refusing to stop preaching that. They're going to continue to preach the truth. It's coming to a town near you. I mean, it's just north of us, right? And it has a way of working its way down across the border. Who or what has the most influence in your life right now? And I want to challenge you in your own way, with your own time with the Lord, as we close with this song today, have our worship team come. What has the most influence and time? Who has your audience, or what has your audience? Now do you see how the devil is using education? He's using iPhones, he's using video games, he's using TV. He's using all these things that could be used as a good thing for tools, but to take away and rob us of our time with the Lord. Do you think Daniel and his friends were involved in school activities and sports? You bet they were. But as we find out later in the book of Daniel, when it came to their times of prayer and their times of worship, they did not bat an eye to compromise and give that up for the sake of those things. They still honored the Sabbath. They still worshiped the Lord with all their hearts. So I want that, don't you? I remember the song we sang as a kid, "Dare to be a Daniel." Do you dare be a Daniel who refuses to compromise when the world will put their pressure on, washer on you until you give in? It's happening in our workplaces too. Happens in our schools. Everywhere we go, we're being pressured to give in. Who will God raise up in this generation of America and this time in America who will say, no, not going to eat the king's food, not going to be fed the lies of the education system, rather, I'm going to let God use me, influence them. That's exactly what Daniel did. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I would be the first to come to you and admit that there has been in my history, in my life, many things that have slowly come in and hijacked my relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you'd reveal those things to my heart. I pray that you'd reveal those things to the hearts of my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I ask, because in my human weakness, I'll admit that it's hard to take a stand on some things. It's hard to not speak up. It's hard, like the church that was worshiping with the Jews and the trains going by, to not speak up knowing that you would lose your life. But Lord, I ask for Holy Spirit power, supernatural dynamic power of your Spirit, that we be resolved like Daniel, Lord, to be a people that never compromise. And God, I pray that you would give people creativity even in how we put up their boundaries, just as you did with Daniel. Wow, the creativity that was there and the willingness to say, test us, see if we might be stronger and better. Lord, give us those kinds of wisdom, that kind of wisdom, that kind of knowledge, Lord, of how to set up boundaries in our culture that we're living in. I pray for wisdom for parents, God, because each of us is in a different situation right now in our lives, and we don't understand each of our lives and our families and the going ins and going out, but you do. You give them wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.